The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are here after the Merge episode, Stephen Fishback.
Wow, what an episode for...
You better get ready.
What, I mean, I was saying to you before the show, like, I just, like, they paid the licensing on that song. Now they gotta use it all the time, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Every episode. Yeah. That's the new theme song of Survivor. Anyway, Stephen, how's everything going by you?
Great, great night for me. I was so excited for all of my friends on Survivor. You know, Tyson Apostle wins his way back into the show. Jeremy Collins wins the Merge Immunity. And then Sophie Clark. Sophie Clark.
Oh.
No, I mean, he's not like a close friend. Sophie Clark gets edit credit for the boot. Where are your friends, Rob? They're all on the edge of extinction.
I guess so. Fair. Yeah. Fair enough. So there you go. All right. So that I just want to make sure that we are we're good. We're live. We're ready to go. Okay. All right.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm just double checking.
I feel like we are live. I think it says live.
I just want to get a confirmation that we're off to the races before we get too far into
this. Good
on
you. Like with me?
No, no, no.
Just making sure that, like, okay.
I just want to look, Stephen, this is a time that a lot of people are on internet streaming. Not everything is going to be super reliable. I just wanted to make sure but we realized it before we got 5 minutes into the show.
Anyway, but I'm reliable, Rob. You can always count on me.
You certainly are. And of course, that while you always want to be Stephen's friend on Survivor because you win, it's seeming more and more like you don't want to be Jeremy's friend. Jeremy's friend, not a good spot to be. Steven's friend, good to be.
Yeah, Natalie, although the first season, you know, being Jeremy's friend was good, but Natalie the first off this season, and then Wendell now, and
So a lot,
crazy episode.
A lot
it actually stuff. Was not that crazy an episode.
You didn't think so?
I mean, a lot happened, but I didn't feel like, you know, a lot of Merge episodes, it really feels like all of these story arcs coming to a head. And in this case, I kind of felt the opposite. It seemed like they had a lot of stuff to get through, but it wasn't like some crazy spectacle of great strategy. I'm sure a lot of strategy happened. They just didn't have time to show a ton of it.
Okay, well, it's our job to sort of unpack and try to guess, exactly how this came to be. Because I think there was a lot more than we got to see in the episode. So I'm looking forward to talking all that through with you here tonight, Stephen. Of course,
I'm being told that I'm not centered in the frame.
Yes, people are texting. Yeah, people like that. You get texts to center more in the frame?
I just did.
Well, wow, look at you. Anyway, so we've got a lot to talk through tonight. I'm very excited about the week of podcasts to come. Your friend and mine, Christian Hubicki, will be my guest tomorrow. And then Malcolm Freeberg this weekend on the podcast, Stephen.
Play Freeberg.
Yeah. So we're ready to go. A lot to do here on Rob is a Podcast. So the big stuff coming up in the next couple of days. All right. So, of course, Stephen, Tyson gets back into the game. Let's come back to that in a little bit. But I want to just go back to Wendell getting voted out. And I really have been thinking about this last vote a lot. We talked about it a good deal last Wednesday night. Talking about everything that was going on with the decision to vote out Yule over Michelle. I'm wondering how much of this was Wendell's fault, what happened to Wendell tonight?
Well, you know, the crazy thing was they really were setting him up to be this big villain. And then, like, he was almost not in the episode tonight.
Lovable so tonight,
He was. He was just sort of, like, there on the sidelines. He was, like, Nick and Michelle's pal. Like, he had this, like, kind of, like, growing presence. Jeremy's pal. Yeah, a lot of, like, fun times with Jeremy as this, like, big character. And then it kind of was, like, all the air, like, got let out of the balloon. So it really seemed like this was a boot that had much less to do with Wendell himself than it did with, you know, the other sort of social politics that were playing out. And I think that really came down to, it seemed like this, you know, you had these, like, big group of chess thumping dudes saying, we're the threats and we are the ones who have to be protected with our meat shields. And one plucky strategist saying, Jacques Hughes.
Yes. So let's get into all that. I want to just set the stage with that vote, because we said last week, Sophie's going to really hate this. So that did not come up, the reaction to voting out Yule in this episode. But we were talking about this last week, and I said that Sophie is going to be so mad that they voted out Yule. We didn't see any reaction to that. Do you feel like, was that a part of this? That was there any sort of like, I can't work with these guys, they just voted out Yule?
I mean, that has to be part of it, right? And you certainly think, you know, had they not voted out Yule last week, very different result. Of course, it would have been Wendell who was voted out, so he wouldn't have been there to be voted out. But, right, I mean, like, you know, if they'd voted out Michelle, for example, right, Wendell would still be there,
right?
Because, you know, then Yule would be sort of that bridge back to Sophie. And you were really saying that last week, that, you know, they now don't have that connection back into that other group.
Yeah, and I wonder, I brought this up with Josh, the who shot first, Yule or Wendell? And I'm wondering, was this Yule's fault also that this happened to Wendell? That the obvious vote was to vote out Michelle. I think that those guys potentially all survive this vote if they vote out Michelle at the last vote. But did Yule go after Wendell first? And Wendell said, well, I'm not getting voted out. We can't vote out Michelle now. Now it has to be Yule. And then did that chain reaction start with Yule saying, I have to vote out Wendell?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying last week, right? It really seemed like Wendell was reacting. That you know, in all of confessional of Wendell's confessionals last week, he was saying, oh, Yule's coming for me, so right, I guess I have to vote him out. So it really did seem like it was Yule who, you know, turned too soon. And, you know, whether, you know, what the origin of that decision was, you know, is a big question. I mean, yeah, I mean, we really didn't even see like why Yule suddenly like flipped on Wendell in that way, you know, just because he yelled at the challenge. I mean, my God, poor Tyson. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's going to be kind of yelling at the challenge is no good. Tyson is really in trouble.
Yes, yes. What a showboat. What is somebody that's talking so much trash? So the vote ended up being, I believe this was 9 votes for Wendell and 3 votes for Adam. Do you have that the same in your notes? They don't show us the votes anymore.
Yeah, and it sure seemed like, you know, this sure seemed the story that was being told was that Wendell, obviously, and then Nick and Michelle were the 3 for Adam.
See, so Jeremy was in on it? Jeremy eventually came around?
That's my guess.
So
you know,
I'm wondering if Michelle might have been somebody that was in on it. Because then Nick said to Michelle, was this you? And she said,
and she
no.
said no.
I wonder if she was lying.
I don't know. The sense I got from the story that I felt like I was being told was that, you know, you had Jeremy with his head in his hands. I couldn't even look up. You know, I had the sense that Jeremy did what the tribe wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then it was Nick, Michelle, and Wendell who were sort of on the outs of that vote.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong. I really could be wrong. Yeah, but that was kind of the read I had.
I think it's you know, up for debate. I don't feel super strong one way or the other. I think that if Michelle wasn't on the vote, I think that we would have seen the story a little bit more through her eyes, because they tried so hard to be last week of like, well, maybe I'm going to vote out Wendell. Maybe.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like if Michelle was part of voting out Wendell, you'd think that would at least have, you know, come up, since that has been such a, you know, a big part of the narrative.
Yeah. But once Denise says, I'm going to vote out Adam, how did the quote unquote, the guys who were the big, branded themselves the big threats, Ben, Tyson, Tony, and Jeremy, how did those guys end up getting on board with this when Jeremy was so dead set against this?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that's the problem with this episode, is that, like, so, you know, we saw one plan coming together, we saw the reverse plan, we see Jeremy hustling, you know, to get that original plan of Nick. And then we cut to tribal council. And I really think this is the problem with, there was just too much to show, you know? And I think like, they were like, well, the viewer can figure it out that, you know, that other plan didn't come together and they went back to plan B instead of plan A. But it really did seem like just one of those things where the wheel was spinning and spinning, and it, you know, it spun to Wendell and then it spun to Adam and then it, you know, it spun and then maybe it just stopped when it spun back to Wendell.
Yeah. It almost seemed like that Sophie had this plan to vote out Wendell. I'm like, well, nobody else is in on it. It seems like that it's Sophie's alone on an island. I'm hearing Nick, I'm hearing Adam. Sophie's the only person saying Wendell.
Yeah, and the only reason they gave for Wendell was that he was close to Jeremy, and Jeremy is apparently some massive threat, which has not been really, I mean, you know, I know Jeremy's a massive threat. He's a great guy. You know, this is what you've been saying too. Why is nobody going for Jeremy? Mm-hmm. So maybe they would like to go for Jeremy. I mean, Jeremy would really be a classic merge boot, right? But they can't because he won immunity. And, you know, the idea of taking out Wendell to take out one of his sidekicks is not bad. Not for nothing, Sophie was allied with Wendell at the start of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I think then once Yule is voted out, she feels like really, you know, can't trust those guys.
I guess that's how she felt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's more plugged into her new friends.
Yeah. And one of the things that I was saying in the lead up to this week, I really felt like that we were going to see the new Dekal and the new Yara end up coming together. And that's basically if it is indeed that Nick, Michelle and Wendell are the three people left out of that vote. That is exactly how that came to be, where the Dekal and the new Yara tribe, they end up all voting out the people, somebody from the original Cele with or the new Cele, with Cele being completely blindsided.
That's why I think it had to be Michelle who was left out, because like for Michelle not to have told Nick about it, you know, would be such a weird betrayal. And then for all of Jeremy's allies not to have mentioned to Jeremy, like, hey, you got to get on the same page as us, for all of Jeremy's allies to vote, unanimously. And for them, Jeremy to somehow be completely left out of that, that would be a story. You know, I just don't totally buy that.
Yeah. It seems like that would be a, you know, a big insult to overcome. Because again, this felt a lot like the premiere to me, Stephen, where Adam is on the ropes. Everybody yeah. wants to vote out Adam. Instead, they say, no, vote out Jeremy's friend. That's it. Jeremy can't have a friend.
Yeah, that's really funny. It's a great call. Yeah, it really did. That's a great point. What about the merits here, Rob? What do you think the merits are of Adam versus Wendell? Like, you're there, you're on the beach, you're scrambling. Yeah. What's your take?
So I do a Survivor pregame show for the patrons, and we were talking about this, and I came up with, you know, Adam and Wendell as the two people I thought that were probably the most likely, and then potentially the edge of extinction person. I said Adam's the easy vote. Adam's the consensus. If we're looking for an easy vote, they'll go with Adam. And I think if somebody right. wants to take a bigger shot, they'll vote out Wendell. And I saw it a little bit differently. I thought that they were going to be more, hey, why did you vote out Yule? Why did you keep Michelle around? That's weird. Wait, you guys dated? Okay. This is why we have, it was more like, why did you guys save Michelle instead of Yule? I thought that would be the reason to go for Wendell. So I didn't think it was proximity to Jeremy as being the reason. But that was the one that I thought was more of a move. And it's interesting that Sophie ends up being the person, Sophie, who traditionally, at least in Survivor South Pacific, played a much safer game, a quieter game of let's keep our numbers. Here, she comes out and tries to make a bigger swing. I wonder, was she ultimately really moved by Denise's telling of the story of slaying the queen?
And what do you mean by that?
So we saw in confessional that Sophie was the one person that we saw end up giving her editorializing Denise's retelling of going in and taking out Sandra.
Yeah, but when Sophie was talking about that, she was saying like, hey, it's not a great thing that everyone thinks of you as the one person with a resume, right?
Yeah.
Like Sophie's point about that story was that Denise telling that story was not good for Denise's position.
But maybe the takeaway for Sophie was that also Denise has right. a resume. I need to put a head on a pike here.
I mean, people are irrational, but I don't think Sophie's that irrational. Like to both think it's bad to have a resume and I should have a resume. Tiny little constrained period of time.
I don't think that Sophie thinks it's bad to have a resume. I think that Sophie thinks it was a bad thing to be boasting and telling the blow by blow of how she did it.
Yeah. You know, it really didn't seem like Sophie's primary goal here was, you know, for herself to have a flashy move. You know, we saw her kind of like wait, like doing like an eyebrow waggle at the jury. But it wasn't like she was campaigning, you know, at least from what we saw, right? It really seemed like she kind of like approached the fire and was like, hey, this Wendell guy, you know, like he's friends with Jeremy, like that's a threat. But we didn't see her like doing any big theatrics in the same way that Denise did at her tribal council. Mm-hmm. I got the sense that this was like just a strategic play. Like she's was aware of a dynamic that was happening, right? That other people seemed to be ignoring, which was that all these guys were getting together and saying like, hey, we're the threats. We need to protect each other. Like this is the new crew. And she's like, you know, and then she had the idea, well, let's get rid of one of those guys who doesn't seem to have a tremendous amount of protection, right? Because he's from this tribe where, you know, that's small. And he's bolstering up this whole like edifice of bros. Mm-hmm. And if we get rid of Wendell, then that is, you know, that keeps my people here, my, you know, Adam, yeah. whether, you know, and that like weakens this other group, and maybe changes really fundamentally the dynamics of how this whole merge plays out. So to me, it seemed like she was more strengthening her own position rather than trying to build a resume. Although, I mean, it certainly is a resume point.
But hypothetically speaking, what about in terms of going after Adam instead of Wendell? I understand the reasons to go after Wendell, but wouldn't you necessarily want to have Denise closer to you as part of like these middle school women of we have the old school people, we have the new school people. I think the middle school women are really in a very strong position in the game, talking about, you know, Sophie and Kim and Denise and Sarah. Don't you want to take away one of Denise's allies potentially, and Adam, somebody that Sophie already feels maybe she can't trust?
Yeah, but Sophie's like locked into Adam in a lot of ways, right? There's through Denise on the one hand, there's also through her swap tribe, you know. So it does really seem like Sophie's kind of got a lot more connections to Adam than she does to Wendell right now. And like you're saying, maybe she never seemed to be the centerpiece of that alliance, mm-hmm. Pre-merge. And in their original tribes, I honestly have like, I'm not even pretending to try to learn the different tribe names. Like I've just given up on that.
That's fine.
But she was always, it seemed like Yule was the center of that, right? And Yule brought in Nick, Yule brought in Wendell, Yule brought in Sophie, but he was really the nexus. And without Yule, does she really have a relationship with Wendell at all? Not, you know, maybe not. As opposed to, you know, Adam being more tightly interwoven into Sophie's network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wendell kind of, like I said, bolstering this other group. So to me, it seems like ultimately you want, you know, your own, the people you have working relationships with to, be you know, to stay, and the people yeah. you don't have working relationships with go. The only other thing I want to say is that, you know, maybe there's like a perception issue too, where Sophie feels like Adam is maybe more beatable.
Perhaps it could be a good jury goat at this point. Stephen, should the consensus move, the compromise thing that would have kept everybody happier, been to just vote out Nick, where Jeremy's going to be upset potentially to vote out Wendell? Denise, she said she didn't mind. I'll let Adam go. Nobody was going to be upset if Nick got voted out. That could have been maybe Wendell. That's it.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
Push came to shove, they'd say, Wendell, we're voting on Nick. It would have been, 11 to 1?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, maybe that was the move. Maybe you're right about that. I don't know. Who's like Nick's best friend? You know, like Wendell. I guess you're right. Like by doing this, Sophie is like pissing off Jeremy. But again, like I guess like my question is, how much was Sophie seen to be responsible? Now, someone else did say, oh, Sophie has this idea. Mm-hmm. We should get out Wendell. Who said that? I don't remember. I need to go back and rewatch.
Yeah, we'll have to go back. I need to study the advantage menu again. We'll look at it again during the week. But Stephen, I just feel like that. How does Jeremy and Tony and Ben specifically, how do they move on with this group that really pounded the table? It has to be Wendell. Why? Just because. Why can't it be Nick? We're thinking more Wendell. That ultimately we get to, somebody's going to eventually say, yeah, it just seems like that, you know, he's tighter with Jeremy.
I mean, I don't get that. Like, yeah, it's not like a huge loss for Jeremy. I mean, clearly Jeremy liked the guy, but it wasn't like they were had some like deep alliance, you know, throughout this game. Did like why would Tony be upset about losing Wendell? It wasn't like Tony and Wendell had any relationship at all.
But if we're in an alliance with a bunch of people, Steven, and you feel like very strongly this person's my friend, I want to keep this person, and there's other forces in the alliance that are like, no, it has to be your friend. It has to be your friend. That doesn't end up being some sort of a molehill that could eventually become a mountain.
That's what I really didn't like about this episode. I felt like that was the key dynamic that was missing, you know, of like, where is everyone? You know, there's so much like business that has to be taken care of with, it's like, oh, we got the edge, and then we got everyone talking about which advantages they got and like why they had this advantage. Then we have the whole section with Jeff talking about like, hey, wasn't the edge great, everyone?
Minutes tonight for the
or 2 hours. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, I don't watch anything else on CBS, so it's like, you know, for me, like, yeah, 24-hour episode, I'm in.
Once upon a time, you and I would have been live in New York City tonight.
I know, that was we were supposed to be. What a fun night that would have been too. That would have been such a great night to have.
And
a great
the roof would have come off the SVA theater when Tyson won.
That would have been
way back into the game.
That would have been an all time live know-it-alls moment.
Yeah, people would have been really pumped up. Was it the peanut butter, Steven? Was that?
Pretty unimpeachably the peanut butter.
Yeah. So we had a lot of talk about the you know, everything leading up to the fire tokens and who was going to do what with what advantage. Very surprisingly, it seemed like that you were able to buy up to three advantages.
I don't totally buy that because, I mean, nobody bought more than one. There must have been like a limit of like one per customer.
I don't know, but it said limit up to three, but more than three people bought the one advantage. So I don't really understand. Unless there was like some sort of a pact, like a handshake agreement of, all right, nobody, like you can buy one advantage. That's it. Yeah, that's what that will make a, you know, honor among thieves here. I wonder if that maybe that was the case.
Or maybe they felt that the idol was more valuable. So the idol was three. How many tokens did Natalie have?
Three for an idol. And
three for an idol, one for the advantage.
Yeah, so.
Did Natalie only have four tokens?
Yeah, Natalie and Rob both ended up doing the same thing, but one advantage and an idol to get back into the game.
Right, but my question is, did Natalie have any leftover tokens?
I don't think so. She had four. So yeah. She bought one, the advantage cost one, and then the idol cost three.
Yeah, I don't know. If that were me, I think I'm going all in on advantages. Like, it's all about, you know, the idol is useless unless you actually get back in the game.
Yeah, get back into the game. I feel like that was the case. But no, it seems like, I know, and Tyson was the only person that bought anything else. So is the Edge of Extinction now, nobody has any fire tokens on the Edge of Extinction?
Yeah, and what do they do? Do they like, what happens to that idol, the idols that Rob and Natalie have? Are they still good?
I don't know if they could send them into the game and try to trade them back for, you know, 50 cents on the dollar.
Could Rob like toss his idol to Tyson and be like, you know,
I don't know. There's a lot of things that we'll find out one day that we just don't know now about how the Edge of Extinction works.
It's all a mystery. This is the problem. It's all a mystery. Now, you know, something that I was thinking when I watched the episode, and then Dalton, maybe we're not going back to the Edge right now.
You can, are we talking about the Edge? Go wherever you want, Steven. Do you have somewhere else to be tonight?
I mean, you know, home, I guess. Different rooms in my apartment, our house. You know, Dalton tweeted this, and I'd actually had the same thought as well. Like, you are tremendously incentivized at this Edge of Extinction to be there earlier. In fact, people are penalized for doing better in the game. Yule and Parvati, who were only there for a couple days, no advantage, basically, you know, sitting ducks in the challenge. Yule almost, you know, Yule was there at the end. He was competitive right there at the end. Maybe if he had done worse in the game, he would have been able to win his way back in the challenge. Is this fair, Rob? And if it's not, how are you going to fix it? You.
You know, it doesn't really bother me. It's, of course, it's not fair. You know,
but nothing is fair.
It should be harder to get back in the game the worse you do. It should be easier to get back in the game the further you get. That makes sense. Ultimately, you know, was Yule a millimeter away? It seemed like it was between Rob and Tyson, and it didn't seem like Yule was there. But I don't know. How long did it take him to dig the bag of balls up? Was he a minute behind Tyson?
I mean, it seemed like he was struggling with it. And there's like the exhaustion factor of like doing this challenge in the hot sun, like digging the balls, like then having to like, you know, you're sweating, your limited resources are being poured into the digging. And then you've got to go do this challenge where someone like, you know, Tyson or Rob, who are, you know, is that much more incrementally fresh.
Like Natalie or Rob bought three advantages and that's how they ended up getting back. I would say it'd be more. I mean, it was ultimately that he had to dig up a bag of balls or a bag of rope. And then the other people didn't. I don't think it was that big of a disadvantage.
I don't know. Colin Stone, the great Colin Stone, has a tweet tonight. You know, anyone on the outs at the merge, if no one in the game trusts you, you should go to the edge of extinction ASAP to start racking up fire tokens and bonding with future jurors. If it's better to be at the edge earlier, if you don't think you're in a great position in the game, you're incentivized to try to get voted out. What do you think about that, Rob?
I think that's not a very smart idea. Why would you want to try to get like, let me get voted out. And then, things look bleak right now, but maybe I should go to the edge and then have a 1 in 14 chance to win a competition to get back in. And then I'll make my run.
But you're increasing your chance if you think you're likely to be voted out, and you know, then you may want to increase your chance of getting back in.
Stay in the game.
But you know, the edge is part of the game now. The edge is part of the game.
To have a 7% chance of getting back into the game is a much better chance that that people forget about me and don't vote me out, and I'm able to stick around.
I mean, it's something
you
to think
try
about.
That you do that. You go back and you try that. You go.
Get oh, not for me. Not yeah. for me. Yeah, not yeah. for me. No. Other people should do that, though, if I ever play.
We all understand the point that you can rack up fire tokens that could potentially. That's not how it bore out tonight. The person that got back into the game was not the person that had the most fire tokens. It was the person that had the third most fire tokens.
But according to you, because everybody else made mistakes in how they spent their fire tokens.
Potentially, maybe we'll see if the person that gets back in later on the game is the person that buys the most advantages.
Yeah, that's the move.
So,
you know, buy all the advantages.
Yeah, we'll see.
P.S. Jeff said that first winner to go to the edge was Natalie Anderson. False. You know, Chris from Survivor 38.
That he first winner went to the edge of extinction and then won.
He was the first winner. He's a winner who went to the edge of extinction.
He was at the edge of he's the first winner that was at the edge of extinction. He was not the first winner on the edge of extinction.
So, you know, I think of winner as being an eternal state. You know, it's like you're a winner or you're a loser.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not something you earn. It's something that you always are.
You're born a winner.
Yeah.
Okay. Steven. Tyson ends up winning his way back into the game. Neck and neck with Buster. That was a great moment. Tyson versus Rob. Second time Tyson has knocked Boston Rob out of a Survivor game. So very exciting to see this showdown. Mano y mano.
I mean, the first one being in Heroes versus Villains by his own catastrophic screw up.
You got That's it. Funny. Okay. You got it.
Different this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fun. It was fun seeing that challenge. I mean, Tyson was like on fire out of the gate. He was just, you know, he had like murder in his eyes. He was going to win his way back. And what a fun, great episode for Tyson, you know, and more like really powerful personal content. I mean, great cast. Love it all. I think Tyson so far is the character of the season in terms of like, everything, the humor he's brought like so much more like deep, like personal depth, like real emotion. I mean, hands down for me, here we are at the merge. Tyson is character of the season. Would you agree?
Character of the series, perhaps.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Steven. So Tyson comes back in and somehow with no advantage, Tyson is not even in the conversation to be talked about as somebody to go home. Now, I think that this is actually really interesting. I think there's a couple of factors in play. One, specifically, the forces that were trying to take out Tyson during his time at the original Decal were Yule. And to some degree, Sandra.
Interesting.
Some degree, Yule right. reporting back, hey, Sandra, did you know Tyson said your name? What? Oh, he's right. dead to me. Tyson's got to go. So the two forces saying Tyson were Yule and Sandra no longer in the game. So this is really a very interesting scenario for Tyson, where he comes back and the people that wanted him out are gone.
That's really interesting. I mean, let's be honest,
Wendell,
though.
Now, too. Wendell was another person who was like, hey, Tyson's got to go. Wendell's idea on the season seemed to be, which was interesting in comparison to other people. Wendell said, hey, anybody who's playing the game, anybody who's good at Survivor, I want them gone. Whereas there's this other idea of anybody who is a hyena, somebody who's not playing, somebody who's just skating by, people want them gone.
But I mean, there's no question that people definitely talked about voting out Tyson, right? I mean, like, we're on the same page about that. It just wasn't in the show.
I'm sure it came up. I'm sure somebody said, hey, why don't we just vote out Tyson? But I just don't think that there was not enough good. I think that people like Kim wanted to probably vouch for him, and Jeremy probably vouched for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and we saw that he had a great relationship with Tony and with Sarah. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope that he and Sophie had a great relationship after all the great time they spent together at my wedding. And, you know, it just seems like he was well connected. I think it's a great point. And Tony said that, too.
And Jeremy were hanging out more at your wedding.
Wedding alliance.
Yes.
But I think that's like, what's it called?
We went to the zoo.
Is that like a metaphor?
No.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It's fine. It's kind of humid.
Well, I mean, Washington in the summer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tony made that point too, where he was saying, you know, the forces, you know, that kind of were behind Tyson getting out. But in terms of, you know, people being worried about resumes, it really doesn't seem to be a factor so far, right? Where, you know, Sophie sort of brought it up about Denise, and now Tyson theoretically has a resume. It's also very conceivable that people think differently about the significance of the Edge of Extinction on this season, right? These are all players who saw season 38 play out. Mm-hmm. They were almost all of them very against the Edge of Extinction when in their preseason press. You know, they were disgusted by, or as you know, they were maybe angry. Disgusted is a strong word. Maybe they were angry to see a person come back from the Edge and win Survivor 38. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that being on the Edge and coming back is not considered to be a badge of honor this season in the way that it seemed to have been in 38.
Right. It could be some sort of like a scarlet letter of like, okay, well, Tyson, he's actually harmless because he's an Edge of Extinction person. He's branded as somebody, and we're not going to let an Edge of Extinction person win the game.
Now, it's also, you know, that also seemed to be the thinking around Chris Underwood, and that was proven quite definitively wrong.
Well, who thought that?
I don't know. I think that I feel like there was like that at the time. There was like talk that like from the people in the game that they were more worried about the people who had been playing than they thought that Chris. I don't remember who specifically it was, but I remember at the time they thought that Chris would not be respected by the jury. But of course, the jury, you know, as we've endlessly talked about, had every incentive to respect Chris.
Steven, so at the immunity challenge in this episode, a classic Survivor challenge, and one that you got to play in Survivor Token Teens. And in Survivor Token Teens, who was the winner of this challenge?
That was Tyson. It was actually one of the most, I mean, Tyson and Survivor Token Teens, by the way, was on like a different physical level of anybody. But one of the most incredible challenge performances of the season. And, you know, I don't even think how much of it made the episode. Tyson was climbing down. He was so completely at ease in this challenge. He was literally climbing down it to quit, to give it to his friend Debbie Beebe, you know, who we all remember very well, huge character in the show. And Jeff was like, you're just going to give up. And then Tyson was like, okay, I guess not. And he just climbed back up. It was unbelievable. He just climbed back up and eventually won it.
Okay. So my question, Steven, did Tyson...
It's not a throw. Don't ask me if it's a throw.
Why? Why can't I ask you that?
You can ask me whatever you want, but I know that you're needling me.
I'm not needling you. This is not a good question.
We had this same argument the last time you asked about a throw.
And it's still a good question. Why did Tyson want to lower his as somebody who got voted out in Survivor Token Sheens for being a physical threat and winning all the immunities once the merge kicked in on the heels of winning a challenge to return into the game? Did he want to, after not feeling any sort of the heat coming his way, did he step down from the challenge that he had such an easy time winning in the past?
No. Tyson, the guy who's just come back.
Ridiculous.
Hold on. That's why I was continuing. That's why I kept on it. if Tyson, the guy who was voted out, came back, has every reason to think he is still a target. Now, granted, he didn't watch the episode, you know, so he doesn't know people aren't talking about him in the episode. Probably in real life, they are talking about him. Every reason to think he's got to be a big target. Every reason to not want to go back to the edge after having battled his way back. Of course, he's going to fight as hard as he possibly can to stay in it. Now, why does Tyson at age 41 not do as well as Tyson at age, you know, 29 did? Well, I think, you know, those are 12 big years. Mm-hmm. The other is that he just was on the edge of extinction, you know, like
eating all that peanut butter. He's eating more than any of these people.
Yeah. I mean, well, apparently a lot of these people are eating like secret pizza, right? So I just think the level of exhaustion and fatigue that he's at is probably very different from the level of exhaustion and fatigue that the other guys are at. You know, he's had this incredibly trying physical experience for the last couple of days. In addition to just exerting everything for this one challenge, yeah. I think he comes into this one, it's, you know, I think he's just beat. I think Tyson is, and the emotional release too.
Steven, not for anything, he's also a guy who pretended his shoulder hurt him for more than half of the season that he won, and also routinely sits out of challenges to eat instead of competing. I don't think it's like that there's no way that this is something that Tyson is capable of.
Yeah, no, I mean, but that was in a season where he was incredibly dominant, right? Where he had this huge alliance protecting him. You know, he was voted out this time. You know, I just look, we'll get the clarification, but I'm willing to bet this was just an actual loss. I mean, every time anyone loses a challenge, anytime like someone is perceived as strong loses a challenge, everyone's like, are they throwing? I mean, well, you know, go back to like a War Dog, like literally every challenge that guy lost, people claimed he was sandbagging, including when he lost like the Edge of Extinction challenge, or like, oh, the War Dog sandbagging once again. Like, no,
nobody
sometimes people,
everybody thought he was terrible at challenges.
Oh my God. That is revisionist history.
Maybe the first or second time he lost a challenge where people are like, oh, this guy, how could he be this bad at challenges? And then it turns out that he really is.
No, revisionist history. You would go on Reddit, or I would go on Reddit every week and it'd be like, man, War Dog once again brilliantly downplaying his threat level. I just think like there's this like, it's fun to like speculate. Like, not everything is strategy, right? Not everything people do is strategy. Sometimes people are physically weak. Sometimes people are emotional. You know, those are really big aspects of the game. Just because you see a strong player be physically weak does not mean that they were like strategically physically weak.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Steven, do you feel like that the rain ended up being a factor then for people in terms of it seemed like that, you know, Jeremy, Nick, people that had more clothes on, I feel like that they had a better shot of being able to hold on to this thing than people that just had their skin up against the pole while it's been raining.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that like, yeah, the clothes you wear are huge to a challenge like this. Also, like the toe holds are really like the way that they, you know, if you're wearing like shoes in this challenge, it's really hard to like get your shoe mm-hmm. to fit into a toe. Like this is a challenge that's really big on your physical
surface area.
Jeremy, huge advantage. If anyone has seen his giant big toes, like huge, or now we all have seen his giant big toes, he had a huge advantage. Like that was the other thing. Like Tyson could never, maybe if there's a strategic element, maybe Tyson saw Jeremy's toes and was like, oh, forget it. I'm out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So where does this go next, Steven? So Nick is isolated. Is it Nick and Michelle on the bottom? Where does this big amoeba of an alliance end up looking? Where do they go next for their the second vote after the merge?
I mean, that's a great question. And I really feel a little bit blinded by like blind about the politics right now. I mean, I guess you were right that those two bigger, that those two alliances, I mean, but why, I mean, aren't Nick and Michelle almost off the hook now, you know, because like one of their number was taken out. So like you're inherently the power dynamics are going to shift. So you're going to want someone from a different group now.
Well, where would they go? Nick, like Michelle could find a home almost anywhere in any of these alliances. Who would take Nick into their alliance?
How rude. I mean, if anything,
how is
like
that rude.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't know
who is he working with besides Michelle that's still in the game.
But that's all the more reason that Nick won't be voted out, right? It's because
how great no one is threatened, though, Stephen. Where
when he's just like
that, yeah, every single person is like that. We can't even talk around here without Nick just pop. It was like the first episode of David versus Goliath. He's gone back to square one.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's the best position to be in right now. Like, you don't want to be the person.
On people that are in mid conversation.
Yeah, yeah. But who's threatened by Nick? You know, I think there's going to be like, especially after the first merge boot, right? And everyone was saying there was so much talk this episode of like, oh, we're all trying to swim with the current, and no one wants to make a big move. You know, that there's 12 people in the game. As the numbers dwindle, people are going to kind of get a sense of where the politics actually lie. And I think that that's going to create more bigger shift back and forth. I would be shocked if Nick or Michelle were voted out next week.
It would be surprising.
I mean, Adam is a big contender. You know, Adam, who was almost voted out this week, protected by that one group. It might make a lot of sense for it to be him. Like, I would be, you know, really, he could be the next one to go.
Yeah.
Or someone, you know, who is on the side. I mean, it could be Sophie, right? Like, Sophie's the person who voted out, who gets credit. Maybe people think like, oh, she's got to go now. Sophie's calling the shots.
I would find that hard to play. I can't think of the group that's coming together unless something else happens that really blows things up, that I feel like that Ben would have to be in on voting out Sophie. And he has seemed like he had a really good relationship with Sophie and Sarah over at Yara. It's hard to like imagine the group of like that we're at 11. So you need six people together to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's like, we don't really, I guess we have a sort of a sense, but this was not an episode that really kind of showed us all the little fractures, right? This was a couple of personalities kind of making their presence known. And I think maybe next week we'll see a little bit more of how those groups and smaller groups break out.
Okay. All right. Let's get ready to take some of your questions here tonight. Of course, hashtag RHAP to send us in questions for the show. Let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's Steven's favorite. joinhoney.com
honey
is hey Steven, a lot of people are doing shopping online these days.
I've heard. Yeah. I'm sized, you know, but that's all the more reason now's the time to go to the stores.
Yes. Okay. You know that you can make online shopping even better with the Honey browser extension. Honey is the online shopping tool that saves you money online. Honey automatically finds the best promo code and applies them to your cart, which makes online shopping finally feel as easy as it's supposed to be on your favorite sites: Target, Best Buy, Sephora, Macy's, eBay, Etsy, Walmart. When you check out, you hit the little Honey symbol in your browser bar and it goes.
So pleasing. It's the best. It's such a satisfying screen. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It's going to find the best promo code for you, so you don't have to go hunting for a code to save you money. That I've used it. My big success story has been printing on VistaPrint. That's one I've saved, you know, $40-$50. I sent flowers recently, and that also was another one where you hit that button. So expensive to send flowers. You hit that Honey button. It's going to find you promo codes and save you money, find you the best deal that's out there. Honey has found it's over 18 million members, over $2 billion in savings, and Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They're adding more every day. Our users love Honey. That's why it has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. Not using Honey is literally passing up free money. It's free to use and installs in just a few seconds. It's backed by PayPal, so you know it's good. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP.
It's like the opposite of the Advantage menu where prices went up. Instead, here, prices are going down.
Okay, prices are going down. All right, Stephen, let's go ahead and start to take some of our questions. And why don't we start off here with Screaming.
Screaming about Kazakhstan wants to know, did losing last week's tribal immunity doom Stellae 2.0? How can someone recover from being on the smallest tribe going into the merge? Well, traditionally, the smallest tribe is at a huge advantage going into the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but losing that challenge last week did end up in them voting out Yule, which I think set into motion the events from this week, or at least going to tribal council where Yule tried to vote out Wendell, which then ultimately got Yule voted out, which ultimately got Wendell voted out. So advantage Yule.
It did really seem so. I want to both agree and disagree with screaming about Kazakhstan's point.
Yes, yes.
It sure seemed like they were in much worse trouble, at least this episode, from that loss. Like they had, as Rob was saying, they lost Yule. However, traditionally, the smaller tribe, the Mot Singh, for example, has really overperforms at the merge. It's a little bit different when you go from two tribes into three tribes.
To be fair, that Mot Singh was dissolved pre-merge, where Denise went to Calabar,
Malcolm went to Tandang,
and then they merged. So they actually had time to get acclimated to their swap tribes, and then they merged.
But in just in general, the tribe that does the worst in the, you know, it still might be the case, right? Like it's still totally possible that Michelle or Nick could win the game. A lot of people see a lot of heat around Michelle, and I'm one of them. She's got a great edit.
Okay. All right. Not a lot tonight. Quiet night for Michelle.
Other than,
her biggest moment was falling off the challenge.
You could argue she was protected because she was on the wrong side of the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she didn't have a lot to do in the episode.
No.
Okay. All right. Let's take this question from Noah. Do you think that Denise is actually on board for voting out Adam?
I got the sense that Denise didn't want to, like, you know, her game is not like, I'm going to take a strong stand for someone who the entire tribe is against. I think her game is saying, like, hey, yeah, if it's got to be Adam, I'm on board with Adam. And I think that's smart here. You know, I think she played it really well. You know, the tricky thing, again, about this episode is, like, we don't know how real that plan was. You know, it wasn't Adam. So we don't really have a sense. And the only people who did vote Adam, according to me, are, because I think it was Michelle and not Jeremy, are the people who were never part of either plan, really. You know, like, they weren't really part of any plan. They were always sort of on the outs. So I think that Denise, by saying those things, really reaffirmed her position to her other allies, right? Like Jeremy, who's also a very close ally of hers. Denise played an idol for Jeremy. You know, they've got a really good relationship. So for her to be like, hey, I'm willing to cut Adam, that's an important thing for him to hear, in addition for her to say.
But I think one of Denise's strengths is also that she can read the room. She's like, I love Adam. Adam's great. Nobody's digging Adam. So yeah. I'm not going to let him be an anchor for my game. Would I like to keep Adam around? Sure. If you guys all want to get rid of Adam, I'm not going to, like, put my foot down about it. I'll figure it out. I'm Denise frickin' Stapley. This is what I do.
Yeah. That's I felt the same thing. And I love when she, I mean, it's funny because, like, some of these scenes in, it's like hard to tell where they have, you know, like, so that scene where she's reassuring Adam, the context that it was presented in was like, Adam's screwed, and Denise is like placating him, keeping him cool, even though he's screwed. Of course, he wasn't screwed. So we don't know, like, when that conversation happened in terms of, like, where the spinning wheel was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Denise will keep you real calm before you're going to get blindsided. There's a great moment with that before Russell Swan gets voted out in Survivor Philippines, where, you know, they're just really selling him a bill of goods before he gets voted out.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Let's go to how about from Paul?
All right. Paul wants to know, did anyone get the sense that we were back to Information Station Ben tonight? Isn't this more of a Sandra style move? Can he get away with this particular playstyle now that the earlier heater and him had dissipated? And can he win this way? What is Information Station?
I don't know. It's in quotes. Information Station Ben. So Ben ends up going back and telling Jeremy the plan. This is an interesting relationship between Jeremy and Ben, because it's a relationship that's had ups and downs in the season, where Jeremy and Ben, I think, started allies. Then seemed like that Ben was in on the plan to vote out Natalie, that Jeremy turned to Ben at that first tribal council and was like, hey, you think Rob and Parvati are up to something? And Ben says, I'm starting to. Ben was in on the plan, and then Natalie gets voted out and says to Jeremy, we'll talk when we get back. They seem like that they've been on the same page since then. This time around, Ben does tell Jeremy, hey, just want to let you know, they're voting out Wendell. So I don't know if Ben is telling everybody. He's not telling Adam anything.
Yeah, that was a really funny scene where Adam came up to him by the well and Ben just, like, snapped at him. Well, again, best relationship of the season so far.
It's strange.
I think, yeah, it's great. It's great. It's like the C-3PO R2-D2 thing. I really think it's there. Just like the bickering friends, if they're even friends. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people on Twitter were guffawing at Ben calling himself a big threat. What's your take on that, Rob?
You know, I, that It's a tough spot for Ben to look, it seemed like it was working, that he's at least talking about that with the guys in his confessionals. If it's helping him end up bonding with the other people, then so be it. But yeah, probably not. If you were gonna be looking at the list of like who are the biggest threats out here, maybe in like a regular season in terms of like okay, people that can win challenges or find idols, but legacy wise Ben's probably not one of the bigger threats on the board.
Listen, Rob, if I'm in a group of people and they're all talking about how we need to keep the big threats,
yes,
I'm saying I'm a big threat.
Yeah,
that's what I'm like. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a huge threat out here. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Completely. All right. What about from Terry?
All right. Terry wants to know a question for the Survivor know-it-all. So, well, you're in the right place. Why did Jeremy Two Collins not give the immunity necklace to Wendell and use the safety without power advantage for himself? They would both have been safe on brand for Jeremy too. I'll let you take this one, Rob.
Okay. Look, Jeremy doesn't just save anybody, you know, that he's like, he knows how much social capital you can burn trying to keep a pariah that nobody particularly cares for in the game. He was born yesterday. So I think eventually he says, okay, well, I got to cut my losses here. I'd like to keep Wendell around, but you know, I'm not going to use up all my advantages.
Yeah, I mean, this is the merge episode. There's so much stuff that has yet to play out, you know, in terms of the tribal dynamics, like coming to the fore. And when he saved me, it was like 9 or something or 10. I mean, you know, granted only 2 or 3 votes from now, but like a big 2 or 3 votes in terms of getting a sense of where the politics are. Also, that safety without power is so rad. You know, it's like an idol is very different, right? Where, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Safety without power at that point is like, you know, he's
not actually better than an idol. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But like, again, like, why would he, you know, he and Wendell have played together for a day at this point or two days, you know, why would he burn an advantage for someone who he effectively, you know, who he's never voted with? He's never voted with him. So like, why would he, you know, that's a crazy, that would have been a crazy overuse of advantages.
Okay. All right.
All right.
We got another question here. Jonathan wants to know, why didn't Amber get an advantage even though she had a fire token? Well, Jonathan, she did have a fire token. She gave it to her husband.
Yeah, I that's the right move, right?
Yeah. I mean,
probably Rob has more upside to win than Amber does.
I mean, Amber was not dominating in the challenge. It was not like, hey, Amber's got just as good of a chance to win that challenge. I mean, Amber was like, you know, her jailbreak escape stick was faltering.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with, you know, Rachel and Tyson in Blood versus Water, right? Where Rachel was like, I'm actually like, I don't want you to come because I think you've got the better shot to win. You know, I think that it makes sense for couples to have a little bit of, you know, one person in the game has got a better chance than two people in the game.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then how about this one, Steven?
So Micah wants to know, would a player who came back from the edge at the merge and winning feel better than coming back in at final six? Like Tyson winning at the merge would be different than Underwood because when he got back in the game. What do you think here, Rob?
I stand by this. Nobody would have cared if Rick Devens won in the Edge of Extinction. It would have been a little bit like, well, you know, he did get voted out and be out of the game for 6 days, whatever it was for Tyson. If Tyson goes on to win, then I don't think it will be, you know, a huge cloud over the season of, well, Tyson was voted out and then he came back and won. For Chris Underwood, we did not know who he was. He got voted out on day 9. He was off the show the whole season. And came back in the finale and won the show. That would be a lot different. People were rooting for Rick Devens to win.
That's not my recollection. First of all, I mean, my recollection of that season was that there was more vitriol towards Rick Devens
playing idols. Not that he was that it was almost like the same sort of trajectory that Ben was on, where week after week he was saved by finding idols. It was not that people were mad that he came back from the Edge of Extinction.
Right. Yeah. No. And you're right. You're absolutely right. It would have been such a like an he would have certainly merited, right, a win. It wouldn't have felt this like the same way of like this guy literally played 9 days of Survivor, especially given how hard Rick played.
Very much like Ben of like, oh, Rick only won because he found idols and that's what people would have been annoyed about. Where the Chris thing win was a totally different category of why people were incensed.
Yeah. Well, the merge is also just such a much more intense part of the game than the pre-merge in terms of the politics. So like for Rick to have successfully navigated all of the politics of the merge as he did was such a huge achievement and, you know, in such great flashy spectacle, versus to just kind of like swan in at the end and make fire, not to take away from Chris's win, even though apparently I just did.
Okay. All right. It's okay. It's okay. He gets it. Look, the check didn't bounce. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. Okay. All right. How about this one, Steven?
It's for you. Oh, no. I always have my throat's giving out. You got to read
all
a long one.
All right.
Now.
Hold on. Hang in there, Steven. Hold on. Take care of yourself. Okay. my biggest worry, you're podcasting, 45 minutes a week.
That's the thing. You're all limbered up. You know, yes. You spend all week like preparing for this moment. And I, you know, I just
Steven
like.
Steven K. says, my biggest worry was that Sophie could always read a situation more accurately than anybody else, but wouldn't have the social strategic capital to make the right move. Is she in a position to go far now? Steven, do you feel like that Sophie is set up well now at the merch?
I think that's a really great point that Steven makes. And Steven with a PH, too. It's a great name. Auspicious. There's never been any question about whether Sophie's an incredibly intelligent player, whether she's an incredibly perceptive player, whether she's an incredibly strategic player. The question has always been like, can she sort of work within like a bigger group? You know, and that was what we saw in her first season. It really seemed like Coach was more the person who was, kind of talking to all the Savai people, right? Where Sophie was more sort of like tight with her, like kind of masterminding strategy from within her Upolu group. So like the question about this season was, you know, is Sophie going to be able to be more of a political force, between different groups? And it sure seemed like tonight she was. And I think Steven's point is well taken that, you know, this really sets her up to be a huge threat for the rest of the game, you know, and the person who kind of like masterminds the merge boot is often considered to be one of the bigger players of the season. And I think she's in that position right now.
So I said coming into tonight's episode, Steven, I felt that Sophie held all the cards. I thought that Sophie was going to hold Nick and Wendell's fate in her hands because her reaction to seeing Yule voted out, I thought was going to ultimately determine how things were going to go for them. I actually feel like that when I talk about the middle school women of Sophie, Kim, Sarah, and Denise, am I crazy to think that Sophie is in the worst position of any of those four simply for the fact that the other three all have connections with the different guys that we're talking about, the guys who branded themselves as the big threats. And Sophie really just has her, you know, core group, the women that she's working with. I'm hard pressed to come up with one of the men that are still in the game that Sophie has a good relationship with other than Ben. But really, Ben is like a friend of a friend. I feel like that Ben is Sarah's person.
Well, what about Adam? I mean, not that Adam is a great connection to have, and he certainly isn't in that group of guys. That's for sure.
And he's also not a particularly great ally to have, as we've seen in the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it really could be to Sophie's benefit that she's not. I mean, it's probably actually not. No, you really do need a lot of like political relationships in order to like hear when you're
named. She has one path, I feel like, whereas other three women that she's working with have maybe multiple paths with different players.
The question is like, is Sophie considered to be like a huge threat? Now she's certainly done incredibly well in all of the challenges. And now that she's making like strategic moves too, probably. Yeah. And you're right. She probably doesn't have the same sort of like network of people who are looking out for her. And it really so much comes down to like, when your name comes up in conversation, is there someone there who's going to be like, actually, let's think about somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like so much of Survivor is that it's like when, cause everyone's name comes up at a certain point and you need to have your crew being like, no, not that person, not this week. Let's think about the next person.
Right.
And so maybe you're right that Sophie doesn't have that.
And I just feel like that at some point, the question is going to get asked, who ordered the kill on Wendell? who wanted this so badly. And I think that where we talked about, there was the ocean. It was, and that's why I was surprised it wasn't Adam, because it seemed like that there were so many people that were like, hey, whatever, whatever, anything is cool with me. Sophie was the one person who really wanted this the most, and she got what she wanted tonight. But Steven, the question I walk away from this episode with is, at what cost?
But I do think that, like, it would be so dangerous for Sophie to let this whole dynamic play out like it was happening. We're like, okay, so there's this core group of, like, quote, threats, unquote. And then there's the, like, onion, you know, around that group. And then, like, where are the Sophies of the world? You know, if she's, if she's not considered, like, a big threat for whatever reason, where is she even in the whole dynamic? Well, and I do think you are, like, it's incumbent on you to destabilize a dynamic that is inimical to you.
So I certainly can see where Sophie is coming from in terms of, like, hey, these guys are starting to bro down. But I think that being adamant that it had to be, it has to be Wendell. I think that going with Nick could have been almost as advantageous without the downside.
Yeah, it could just be like my friend goggles, but like I didn't perceive her as being like super bossy about it. I kind of saw her like go up to a group and be like, what about Wendell?
I don't think that she necessarily was, handled herself incorrectly, but I do feel like that.
Why say anything at this point in the game?
How important was it to, like, how much of a threat to her game was Wendell? Say, if it was for the reasons that we saw in the episode, and again, there's so much that we don't see. We don't know how much of it was that, hey, you voted out Yule. We don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you that if you're here at the merge, like, you don't necessarily want to be the person putting forth the name at all. I mean, Jeremy, for similar reasons, he did have immunity, which obviously is, gives him a little bit more leeway and almost is perceived as an excuse, right? The idea, the expectation is that the person who wins immunity will maybe be playing a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Jeremy also, by running up and down the beach trying to save Wendell, probably didn't do himself any favors. Mm-hmm. And he could be next, right? Like, he would be could be a great guy to vote out next.
Yeah. I mean, if you were looking to now, okay, we took out Wendell, are we going to attack that group? Who's seen as the ringleader of the group of quote unquote four big target guys? Who's seen as the lead? Is it Tony?
Can you believe that neither Tony nor Kim was even, like, in the mix at all
Kim
tonight?
It's amazing that Kim is so under the radar in this game that people
how is that possible?
Forgotten that Kim Spradlin is in this game.
Yes, like the person who arguably played the most dominant, first timer game ever is suddenly like, whatever, Kim's over there doing something. And she's not even, like, in the big threat combos. And like, when everyone's talking about what big threats are, what?
And she has an idol.
And as an idol. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
No one's talking about Kim.
Yeah. Interestingly, just to go back to the middle school women, do they also hold all the advantages in the game other than Jeremy's safety without power?
So we got Sophie's got her idol.
Kim has
got her idol. Sarah's got, what is it? Vote steal, whatever. Is that it? And then Jeremy's got safety without power. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The fire tokens did not play a big part in anything that we saw strategically tonight. We did see Jeremy and Denise win another fire token. Do you think that the fire tokens have had their moment, or do you think that they will be a bigger part of the strategic game moving forward at the merge?
It is funny that everyone was so sure that the value of the fire tokens would increase after the merge. And in fact, the value of the fire tokens decreased after the merge.
Why?
Well, if things are more expensive, then the value of any one fire token is less, right? Mm-hmm. If like prices go up, it's like inflation, right? If you have $1 and you can buy a cup of coffee for $1, but then the next day the cup of coffee is $2, the value of your fire token is less. Mm-hmm. Or dollar in that case. Obviously, it's crazy to me that people didn't buy the advantages when they had the opportunity. Or did they? Maybe no one had an opportunity to buy an advantage.
Yeah. In terms of the players that came into the the merge. I came right out of the bathroom and I missed the shot on the menu. Any highlights from the advantage menu for the players at the merge, Steven?
I didn't really see it. I mean, I liked the scene though where Tyson was like, are we ever thinking about pooling our tokens and buying a tarp?
Yeah,
I mean,
Tyson,
of course, he doesn't actually have tokens.
Great
yeah, exactly.
idea.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
But it is sort of, I mean, surprising that no, I mean, just look at that shelter. It was just like completely open to the sky and it's pouring rain. I mean,
yeah.
That's a real quality of life thing.
I'm surprised that, you know, had there been more bad weather in this season, that I feel like that you would have seen a tarp get bought earlier in the season.
Yeah, it seemed to be the first really bad storm of the season so far.
Yeah. And it seemed like that was a wake-up call for these survivors. It said it's the weather is, as you know, Stephen, that is the biggest thing. That is the most suffering comes out of the bad weather on Survivor.
And the people you're with.
Okay.
They're so annoying.
All right. Let's do one more question and then let's start to wrap things up. Okay. How about this one, Stephen?
All right, Kyle Rao wants to know, why does it feel like Jeremy is playing himself into being a meat shield? Should he tone it down?
Tone what down?
Yeah. The meat shields have got their like meat shield alliance.
Do you think, is there any part of the players that are targeting Jeremy's friends? Natalie here, Wendell again, Denise was Jeremy's friend and she was targeted by the people that they were with. That is there anything about like where Boston Rob, hey, let's keep him around, but let's take away all of his allies so he has no power. Is that how people are potentially looking at Jeremy of, okay, well, we like the idea of keeping Jeremy around to protect us, but if anybody gets too close to Jeremy, they're going.
As someone who's been the victim of this, I never got it. Just vote out Jeremy. I mean, obviously tonight they couldn't, but like, don't vote out the person next to the guy. Vote out Jeremy. I mean, I'm still upset about this. This is why I couldn't understand. Like, I didn't believe that they would bother to vote me out when Jeremy was still in the game.
Yes.
It was such a ridiculous
he was your
vote.
Shield.
That's what I thought, but they obviously incorrectly thought otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, looking at you, Keith Nail, Tiger King.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch that?
I've been 4 episodes in. Okay. He looks, I mean, there's definitely some facial similarities to Keith Nail there.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about what else is going on Rob as a podcast. That Tyson, Danny, and Rob talked about, speaking of Tiger King, police in Florida are potentially going to listen to any new leads in the mysterious disappearance of Carol Baskin's husband. We talk about that and more on the latest News AF. Of course, Matt Liguori has his power rankings up over on robinswebsite.com if you want to check that out as well. Hey, it's Mike Bloom. He's going to be on Australian Survivor All-Stars finale. Australian Survivor has come to its conclusion this week. And Mike is back with Shannon Gus, to break it all down. So check that out in our wrap-ups feed.
I haven't watched that, but people seem to be livid. What's the story?
Livid?
Are you? Yeah, oh, there seems to be a lot of contentious.
I didn't know there was controversy.
Controversy.
Shannon Gus also has exit interviews as well with everybody that made it down to the end in Australian Survivor, not to mention Drag Race with Liana and Amon and Brent is up with the latest episode. And then the Top Chef Roundtable is back. Be sure to check that out as well. If you are a Top Chef fan, talked about WrestleMania with Kiva and Puya this week. We've talked a little bit about what sports the situation is in terms of things coming back here in 2020. And then Bryce Isaiah, who I'm sure is fired up tonight, is back with the Purple Pants podcast this week. Find out what Bryce is watching in the era of social distancing. Then Taryn will be back on Thursday to talk about this week's episode of Survivor and Taryn's Survivor update on Thursday, Stephen.
Rob, and really exciting, you're playing in this RHAP sequester over the weekend.
I didn't even know that you were on top of this.
Well, I got asked and I said I really wanted to, but I couldn't play this weekend. I got a big deadline on Monday.
Yes.
And they were like, well, Rob is afraid of you, Fishback, so we're scheduling it for a time that you're not able to play.
Did this really happen?
Well, not the last part, but the up until the very end. Yes. Yeah, that happened.
No, I
yeah.
totally am. I'm very afraid of you. I feel like you would target me. I would not target you. I would feel very much that you would be coming for me. You better be ready. Steven's coming for you.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, coming for you in your own, I mean, your home turf would be very dangerous.
Yeah. Would be like, you would come for me and then I'd get voted out and you'd be like, ha, in your family. Like, why were you coming for me? Why did you vote me out?
I'm a very loyal ally friend. I have proven that time and time again.
I hope so. I get that feeling.
Yeah, until I finally get the chance to, it all pays off when I betray you.
Yes. All right. We are going to play in the sequester game Friday night live if you want to watch that. I believe that's going to kick off at 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, the final episode of Big Brother Canada 8 aired tonight. Look for our recap of that with Taryn and the LFC coming up on Thursday as well, when I will also speak with this man. Christian Hubicki will join me to talk about what's going on at the merge here. Kirsten McInnes will join the RJP B&B this week. Be on the lookout for that in our Rehapups feed with Mike and Liana. And Malcolm will join me and answer your questions, talk about everything that's going on with Denise and much more this weekend. David Bloomberg will tell us why Wendell lost this week with Jessica Lewis on Why Blank Lost. Haley Strong will join us on this week in Survivor as well with myself and Jordan Kalish. And then we'll be back on Monday with the Wiggle Room. I had a great Wiggle Room this past week, Stephen. Dom Abate joined us on the Wiggle Room this past
week. Fun. How was it?
Oh, it was really fun. Great wand off. That's going to be back on Monday. So be on the lookout for that. And then it is the first day of a new month, which is also always a great time to talk about Patreon. I want to do something different this month, Stephen, because I feel very awkward talking about, hey, you should support what I'm doing with the podcast when there's so many people in need. And so what I want to do here, because I feel very much that the content that we're creating for the patrons is something that people may be interested in right now. We have this all winter season of Survivor happening as we speak. It's a great time to not only get all of the additional patron content. I think I've done about 9 hours of patron podcasts in addition to the regular stuff you guys have heard in the last 7 days. There's a lot there for people that are looking for more stuff. And not to mention, I think that the best thing that we have going is our community of Survivor fans and people that are talking about this stuff and are, trying to get through all of this together. And so what I want to do is, if you would like to be a new patron here in the month of April, what I am going to do is I'm going to be donating 100% of the proceeds from our new patrons to charities for PPE for doctors and nurses that work in hospitals. It's something that affects us greatly here at my house. My wife is a nurse, and we're very concerned about doctors and nurses and medical staff not having enough protective equipment. And so I thought that this would be a great win-win where we can, if you are interested in getting the additional content, jumping in, being a part of our patron community, if you do so, and as a new patron in April, we're going to donate all of that money, and I will also match that contribution. So basically, you're getting to get all of our patron stuff. If you like it, I hope you stay on board past the month of April. If not, then enjoy it here during the Winners at War, and then we will be donating all of the proceeds from the new patrons, and I will also match that contribution, and we'll be donating it to a charity to help doctors and nurses get that personal protective equipment. We think we have a good charity. If somebody is more knowledgeable about this stuff, I would love to have some people reach out to me. And what I'd also like to do is, rather than wait till the end of the month, Stephen, because I feel like that the doctors and nurses need this sooner than later, I'm going to do this weekly. So every week we'll update you guys on the donations that we're making and trying to get more and more funding to doctors and nurses who are helping all these people in hospitals who really desperately need this equipment. And it's as somebody who lives with a medical professional, it is something that is never far from the top of our minds in terms of keeping people protected. So that's what's going on. If you want to jump in, it's a great time. robiswebsite.com/patron. We started doing patron pub trivia. We did that on Monday night, the Survivor pregame show, Facebook Friday, and a ton of stuff going on in our patron community at robiswebsite.com/patron. Okay. All right. It's a mouthful, Stephen.
Oh my God, Rob, that's such an incredible thing to do. I'm so impressed and really moved by that. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And, you know, we're trying to, you know, help out the, you know, doctors and nurses who are on the front lines while we get to talk about nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What's that's fantastic, Rob. It's really, really great that you're doing that.
Well, thank you very much. Steve, we didn't talk about the fishy tonight. Is it Sophie? Fishy.
Gotta give it to Sophie.
Not,
yeah.
Not
Sophie,
for Tyson for getting back into the game.
No, for okay. Sophie.
All right. Yeah. Fishy for Sophie.
Fishy for Sophie. Yeah. And yeah, well, Rob, it's really, really beautiful that you're doing that. And that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Steven. Anything else that you want to talk about? How's your quarantine and chill going?
It's good. You know, I was a little restless today. I think everyone's, you know, it's crazy to think of this can go on for so much longer. My God, mm-hmm. You know, we're just at the start of this thing.
Yeah. All right. Will you hang in there, Steven?
You too, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, we're doing okay over here. We have up and down days with not to mention the homeschooling. That's another.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yes. I feel so lucky to. I mean, I've always wanted kids, and I look forward to having kids. But mm-hmm. Right now, I feel lucky to not have kids.
Steven, do you want to tease any of the things that you have been tweeting about this week?
No,
not yet.
Okay. You're talking about the D&D.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Dungeons and Dragons. We've been talking about this for a while, Rob, getting a Dungeons and Dragons game together, featuring myself as the DM, Rob Sesternino here. Got to have Coach the Dragon Slayer for any Dungeons and Dragons game. Tyson Apostle. If you're following him on Twitter, you might have seen his avatar, which I believe is like a Tyson centaur with a Pegasus horn and a fish either as a tail or like coming out of his butt. I told him totally. And then of course, PG, the only person among that whole group that will know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I just haven't had a time to pull together the campaign, and I'm a little frightened, you know, cause all these like great professional DMs out there. I'm totally an amateur. So, but I think it'll be a lot of fun, slowly moving forward. And when I say slowly, you know, don't
keep people real excited. I know you've been talking about this like offline for a while, but now like the tweet storm is coming. I'm getting like a ton of mentions about it.
Well, we started a group text, and honestly, like, it's the funny. I mean, like, I feel like maybe I'll just like release the group text as like screenshots over mm-hmm. time, and that might like sate the appetite. It's good. It's good. I'm feeling really good. The only question is like I'm not that competent, as I've mentioned a few times, and you know, just like keeping all the mechanics, and I've got an incredible offer from the wonderful Mike Bloom, who has said he'll like help in any capacity. So I may be taking him up on that. So I think it'll be great. And he apparently knows much more about this than I do. So
yeah,
I think it's,
he does. Yeah. He knows about everything, Mike Bloom. He's such a
know-it-all.
Yes, such an oracle. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Steven Fishback, thank you so much. Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, thank you as well. We'll be back with much more coming up in the next couple of days, talking about Survivor with Christian Hubicki, Malcolm, and much more. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.